year is dedicated to the memory of Yehudit Spetner Olar Shalom, who was, as far as the Israel Center and maybe myself is concerned, she was a student for many years. She started coming to learn. We were not at the center. We were a number of other places in Europe, in Shalim, as we went from one place to the next. She started coming when we were still living in Rehovot. And I remember how good I felt. Somebody came in from Rehovot to study Torah. And then after that, she decided that she wants to study Torah, so she's going to move to Yerushalayim early. She was a very, very wonderful, pleasant, a very nice person to talk with, to be with. And her memory will forever be with us. Immediately following this year, there will be a number of words of memorial from family, but our study of Torah now is L'ilui Nishmata, in her memory. The subject of this year was a question that maybe you found a little bit strange. Is there a mitzvah of tshuva? You most probably wanted to explode and say, what in heaven's name is the man asking? Is there a mitzvah of tshuva? Of course there's a mitzvah of tshuva. It's one of the greatest mitzvahs of them all. Well, let's see at the end of this year if you're going to still react the same way. There's been a great deal written, and I may demonstrate for you during the course of this year the progression of ideas that came to me over 30 years, 40 years. It's amazing. It's amazing how things grow and develop. Here it is. Everything, of course, begins with the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. It is said that the Rambam wrote his magnificent 10 Prakim of Hilchos Tshuva, so that a parak should be learned each day of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. It's a masterpiece. The whole Rambam is a masterpiece, but the greatest of all is Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam begins every section with a headline, one sentence in which he sums up everything that he's going to talk about. And there it is, on the right hand side of the sheet, Hilchos Tshuva, the laws of Tshuva, Mitzvah Asei Achas, one positive commandment. He should Yoshev Achotei Michetol Lefnei Hashem, V'yitvadeh, that the sinner should do Tshuva from his sin before God and confess. The explanation of this mitzvah is Karim HaNigrarimimah, and there are fundamental principles of Yadut that flow from this mitzvah, are all included in the following chapters, Bichlola Bechrokim Eilus. Halacha, Kol HaMitzvah Shabbat Torah, all mitzvahs in Torah, Bein Asei, Bein Lo Asei, whether they be positive commandments or negative commandments. Imav Ad Adam Alachas, man, if a person transgressed one of them, Bein Bezodom, Bein Bishkoka, regardless of whether he did it intentionally or he did it unintentionally. Kishayah says, Tshuva, listen very carefully to the words of the Rambam, when he will do Tshuva, V'yoshuv Michato, and he will return from the path of sin, Chayov, his fathers, the Akel Baruch Hu, he is obligated to confess before God, blessed be he. Do you hear the words of the Rambam? The words of the Rambam seem to be pretty clear. The chiyuv, the obligation, begins from the moment of vidui. When he does tshuva, chayav lichvatos, he has to confess. In other words, he has to give verbal expression to what happened in his neshama and in his mind. Men has done tshuva. He has to express it, he has to say it. Chayav lichvatos, ne'agel baruch hu shenema, as it says, Isha Isha, the Yasu Nikol Chatol Kalam, a man or a woman who will do any sin, Lima will bar Baruch Hashem to sin against God, but Oshmo HaNefesh Ahi, that soul will be guilty, ויתבדו את חטאתם אשר עשו, they should say vidui, confess, say it, express it, verbalize it. Say vidui dvarim. That passage is talking about confession that one says with one's mouth. You use words for it. Vidui zeh. This vidui, this confession, is mitzvah aseh, is a positive commandment. Raman doesn't say tshuva is a mitzvah aseh. The Raman says vidui zeh. This vidui is a positive thing. Kesach mitzvah der, the Raman asks, how does one fulfill the mitzvah of vidui? Omer, he's supposed to say, oh, Hashem, the Ben Yishon Kantasi, Yodisi, Pashati, I've sinned, I've done evil, I have rebelled before you, and I did such and such, but I regret and I'm embarrassed of what I did. I'll never do it again. This is the essential nature of vidui. That's it. And the one who says vidui and expresses his regret and his shame and his embarrassment and his pain of his soul, great mitzvah. From the simple understanding of the words of the Rambam, there seems that there's no mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah is vidui. The fact is that there's a brilliant, great shiur of Rav Soloveitchik in which he says, cannot be. It can't be. Even though he says that his uncle held that there is no mitzvah of tshuva, the Minchas Chinuch also holds there's no mitzvah of tshuva. We may see the Meshech Chochmah, Rabbi Simcha, who holds there is no mitzvah of tshuva, but the Rav takes a completely different position. He says it can't be, and he brings a number of proofs. We will deal with some of these proofs for a moment, but I, with fear and yudati, in all humility, I'm going to go in a different direction. I got the Meshech Chochmah by my back, and I have the Minchas Chinuch, and I have the Rav's uncle, you know, so I'm pretty much on safe ground. But the shir, the Rav's shir, which is the second shir in the Sefer Avot Tshuva, is brilliant. The ideas are amazing. All right, we want to find out about this mitzvah of tshuva. One of the proofs that the Rav brings that there's a mitzvah of tshuva is the next halacha. The next halacha is in the second chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says, "Umahi hatshuva." What is tshuva? That seems to leave the impression that there is a mitzvah of tshuva, and the Rambam is therefore asking, "What is tshuva?" And he says, "Hu sheyarzov hachote cheto," that a person should leave the sin, the yisidel mimachshavto, remove it from his mind, the igmar belivo, and decide in his heart, so like Yasehu, I'll never do it, shenema, yazov rosha odarko v'yish oven machshavosov, let a man forsake his way and his evil way, and a person should remove himself from the evil of his thought. Interesting, by the way, this pasuk is from the Torah of the fast days, which means it will be read during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva on Tzom Gedalia. The Rambam goes on to say, "V'chein yitnachem al she'avar," he should also regret, have great regrets for what he did in the past. Shenema says, "Ki acharei shuvi nuchamti," after I did tshuva, I regretted. V'acharei vodi, and after I knew what I had done, sofachti al yorech, I sort of comes at it, clapped, I couldn't take it. Interestingly enough, this second concept that Ramon brings is from Yirmiyahu. It's from the Haftorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? They're all famous Haftorahs. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, of course, is the Haftorah of Rochel, Mevaka, Oboneo, Kol, Benoma, Nishma. The Rambam goes on to say. The third thing is, V'yored, Allah Yodea Talumos, God should be able to testify about him, Shalom Yoshev, God, the tshuva has to be such that God should be able to testify about this man. He's never going to do it again. Never going to do it again. Shenema, as it says, we are no longer going to say about that which we made with our own hands that this is Eloheinu. We will not serve any other kind of God. And that, of course, serving other gods doesn't simply mean just idolatry. In any way and in any respect in which I place my faith and my trust in anybody aside from God, that's already a form of idol worship. Whether it be in the United States of America, that's certainly avodah zarah. If a man feels that, well, you know, he can take care of himself, he has his money, his wealth, that's also, I'm not sure which, that may be the greatest avodah zarah of our time. Interesting enough, this pasuk that the Rambam brings is from the Haftorah of Shabbos Shuvah. Maybe interesting. But you know what? The Lord brings this as a proof to take a look. There's a mitzvah of tshuva. And you know what I say? Isn't it strange? To prove each one of the three fundamental parts of tshuva, the Rambam has to bring a pasuk from the Nevi'im. He hasn't quoted a pasuk from Torah yet. The only time we have a pasuk from Torah was in the very first halacha of the Rambam, where he says that vidui is a part of the commandment, shenema v'hisvadu es havonah. But otherwise, whatever aspect of tshuva the Rambam wants to enunciate for us, he has to go to Yishayahu. He has to go to Yirmiyahu, and he has to go to Hosea. The Rav also brings proof from the next halacha. That halacha hey is in chapter 7. Kol Hanaviim Kulam Tzivro HaTshuva, all the prophets commanded that we should do tshuva. Ve'en Yisrael Nik'olin Elo v'tshuva, and Israel will be redeemed only through tshuva. The Torah has already promised and guaranteed. Shesof Yisrael, Lasso, Shuva, Besov, Gautam. The end is Jews will do Shuva. At the end of their exile, Umiyad Nigolin, and immediately they're going to be redeemed. Shenana, this to me is even more fascinating. The Rambam is going to bring a famous prophet. We're going to say it in Davening, we're going to say it in Slichus time and time again. It's from the Parshas Hatshuva at the end of Sefer Devarim. When all of these things will happen to you throughout history, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Now the word v'shavta can be translated in one of two ways. V'shavta can be translated, you shall do tshuva, an imperative, a mitzvah, an obligation, or v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha can be understood as a prophecy, a guarantee of what will be. V'shavta, you will do tshuva, not you shall do tshuva. And you know how the Rambam learns the pasuk over here? As a promise for the future. It's not a mitzvah, do tshuva. He's saying the end is Jews are going to do tshuva, and they're going to be redeemed. So if there was any pasuk in all of Torah that could have been the pasuk to tell us that there's a mitzvah of tshuva, the Rambam uses that pasuk to say that there's a promise. The Rambam here says no, b'shachto means you should do tshuva. That's not what the Rambam says. God will return your captivity, and he will have mercy upon you. Shav v'kibetz v'mikol ha'arim asher hevitzcha Hashem elokecha hashomah, and he was then turned again and gathered him from all the nations where he had dispersed you. I can't help it, but when I come to this passage, I have to say something that maybe has nothing to do with tshuva whatsoever. There's a great meshech chachma over here. And you're going to be saying this passage often. You're going to say it very often, starting with sleepers. The Shav Hashem l'kevet shvutcha gal is going to return your captivity. V'richamecha, he's going to have mercy on you. And he's going to go back out there, wait a minute, and gather you in from all the nations where he had dispersed you. Wait a minute. But they came back already. It says, V'shav Hashem l'kevet shvutcha, God is going to bring back your captivity. What's this second v'richamecha that he's going to have mercy and he's going to go back out to him? Says the Gezer Lesher Chachma. There are two kinds of Jews. There are Jews who may be living in the Golan, but they feel like they are captives. They look forward to and with great anticipation they want to go to Eretz Yisrael. V'shav Hashem l'kevet shvutcha. You know who God is going to bring back first? The ones who feel like captives in the Gola. They feel it's not their home, it's not their native land, they don't belong there. They're the first ones that are going to be brought back. And then the Rechamecha. There's going to be an act of great mercy on the part of God. Those people out there who don't really care at all, no Jew will be left behind. Special act of mercy. The Rishon is going to go out there and he's going to bring them back to B'meheira, B'meheira.
Amen.
As I said in a video that was shown, I think, someplace in the States, that in 7.5 years from now, the Siyum Daf Yomi should take place in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, and they shouldn't be able to find a minion in Met City, Met Life, like this. I don't know the names of the place. They shouldn't get a minion for a Daf Yomi. See, everybody will be here. Yes, Hashem. So therefore, I have one other point. The Rav uses this as a proof that there's a mitzvah of tshuva, because it said, Kol HaNeviim Kulam, so all the prophets commanded about tshuva. But wait a minute. Does the Rambam ever say Kol HaNeviim Tzivu Al HaShabbos? The Rambam doesn't ever say all the prophets commanded the mitzvah of Shabbos, or that all the prophets commanded any other mitzvah. The only place where he says it is with regard to tshuva. You know why I say that is so? Because there isn't a mitzvah of tshuva in the Torah. It's the Neviim who are giving good advice to the Jewish people. There is no mitzvah of tshuva. Wait a minute. Now that you're sufficiently confused, let me explain to you how this all started. Here begins a little history. It must have been 40 years ago. 40 years ago, they printed the Shailos HaTshuva Sridei Eish. Sridei Eish was represented by Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. And you know, you get a new sefer, you peruse it, you go through it, and I came to something that just struck me like a ton of bricks. It's number two over here. Let me tell you, I'll tell you what he says, and then we'll look at it more closely. He asks the following question. Why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? Right? Just, you know, move out of the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur mode, and I'm taking you now to Purim. And remember this, because Purim is going to be extremely important in our understanding of Yom HaKippurim. The Talmud Kabbalah say, Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur is a day like Purim. You imagine what the Talmud Kabbalah said? The most serious, holiest day of the year is like the most frivolous day of the year. What do they mean? That you have to wait. That's annoying. Meanwhile, he asks, why is there no bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? Hashem Yitzchom Mitzvah of Tzidonim on Mishloach Manos. All right? So he offers a number of possibilities. Maybe it's because a mitzvah that requires two people, you don't make a bracha. I need a receiver of the shalach manas, and well, you need two people for a mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. So he says, that's not really true, because the fact is, if you send shalach manas to somebody, and he says, it's beautiful, no thank you, you fulfilled the mitzvah. You can go home with the whole shalach manas. So I don't technically really need somebody else for the mitzvah. So he comes to the following conclusion. The Sfeirish says, what's the point of the mitzvah mishloach manos? To create a sense of friendship, of love between Jew and fellow Jew, a sense of camaraderie. You know what can kill it all? If you say a bracha, then you see vanu. The moment you turn that into a vitzivanu, and we've been commanded, you know what vitzivanu can mean? I really don't like you at all. You know, I can't stand you. But I have a mitzvah. So here, an orange and a peanut. Take it. Vitzivanu empties the mitzvah of its real meaning. The table where it's on the line, number two. Mishloach manos leharbot shalom ve'ahava ve'reyut. The purpose of mishloach manos is that there should be a great deal of peace and love and friendship. As Chassam Sofer says, v'hinei'af. Listen carefully to this. Afshar b'chol ha'mitzvot. Even though by all mitzvot, God ol ha'mitzvot ve'yoseh. The Gemara says, greater is the one who is commanded than the one who is not commanded. He says, that's not true all the time. He says, in this particular case, being mitzvah, being commanded, is losing the essential nature of the mitzvah. No, I'm giving you the shalach manos because I like you. And I want you to like me. And I want there to be a great deal of avos shalom v'chayos between Jew and fellow Jew. Do you know what's being established over here by the Meshech Chochma? That there may very well be mitzvahs. Maybe mitzvahs that their greatness lies in the fact that you're not commanded to do it. And I'm going to give you a number of examples. I will give you a number of examples. Not every mitzvah has to be commanded. There are ideas that we know on our own are Ritzon Hashem, God's will. And there are aspects of Yadut where the Rebbeinu Shel Olam craves that we should do it because we want to do it of our own free will, not because we've been commanded. So here we start first with Mishloach Manos. And then he says another idea down by the bottom that's also on the line. He says, and this is another idea of why there's not a bracha, and it may apply to our mitzvah as well, that the mitzvah of love between men and fellow men is a mitzvah tamidis. It's a constant mitzvah. You only make a bracha on something that comes from time to time, but something that is an ongoing, unending, unceasing mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. Okay. I'm going to give another example. Number three. Beautiful Malbim. You're going to see what the Malbim says over here. It's the beginning of Parshat Truma. Beginning of Parshat Truma says, God wants to build a Mishkan. And what does he say? He says, V'yitchu li Truma, and they shall take unto me Truma. So the Malbim asks, why doesn't it say, V'yitchu li Truma, give me Truma? Brilliant man, the Malbim. Look what's on the line over there. V'Hashem rotzo shetrumo zu tiye minidvat leiv v'uretzon chavshi lo alidei shum hechlech. God wanted that this mitzvah of building a mishkan for him should be come from the very depths of one's complete free will, no coercion whatsoever. Certainly not the coercion of a mitzvah. what kind of town would it have? You understand? Well, the Rebbe Shem wants to build a Mishkan, and he has to command the Jewish people that they should bring Truma, they should bring donations. These are the donations that have to come from the wellsprings of the Neshama. Free will, that's what the Rebbe Shem wanted over here. If the command would have been that they should give Truma, they would have been forced to give because there's a command. Lachem, therefore the Pasuk says, no, there's no mitzvah to give. V'yikuli Truma means there's a mitzvah that there should be people who will receive the donations. But there is no mitzvah, no requirement, no demand of the Jewish people that they should give. There are certain things that have to come from the very depths of one's neshama. Complete free will. All right, so we have now two. We have Mishloach Achmanos, and we have the mitzvah of the Mishkan. Incidentally, the Tzvi Yeh says that may very well be the reason why we don't make a bracha and kibud av v'ein. What kind of a town would it have? You know, my father wants a cup of tea, I bring him a cup of tea and I stand there, wait a minute. I said, Kitshanu v'mitzvaitza v'tzivanu, he commanded me. Och and vey! That kind of kibud av v'ein. No, it cannot be Yitzchak. It has to come from the neshama of the human being. To bring even more classic great proof. Next, the other side. Me'idi, number four. Chibur HaTshuva. Let's begin. I'm going to read a few lines beginning at the end of the third line. Kavana Zerachacham, number four. The intention that this Chacham said, Sha'atshuva ha'gemurah, what is complete tshuva? Sha'akotei meisim benotav lash, kavanotav lash em yizbarach. That the sinner has kavanah toward God. V'yachalpi she'tivo chazak, even though his nature and his ability to do aveilus is strong. U'muhan l'puranot, he's ready to do aveilus. Kemosha Hayomi Kodem, as he was before. To Koho Oz, Koho Ato, the same strength and might and power and will and desire and lust that he had before to do the Aveda, all the same right now. The Hazman of the other Lassos, and the opportunity to sin is there. He's describing ultimate, absolute Tshuva. You can do it. Everything is available. It's all possible. The Hazman of the other Lassos Haveda, Kemosha Hayot Bishah, Shahasa Haveda, just as it was at the time that he did the Haveda. Now, listen to the description. Me'iri, the Rishon. Lo ha'eni tohu b'tshuva ha'hi, he was not aroused or awakened to this tshuva. Choshat teva, weakness, o zikna, or age, o heder hazmona v'yecholet, or the fact that he doesn't have the opportunity to do it, or he doesn't have the strength anymore to do it, o tochachat mochiach, nobody admonished him. It wasn't a soul that told him, shaygats, do tshuva. No, nothing of the sort. O roto, and it's not because he saw other people who had done this same Avera and were punished. None of these reasons. Sof Dava. The end is, you know why he's doing tshuva? Lohit Oreh Libol Sivam in Masivot. His heart was awakened and aroused to tshuva for no reason in the world except himself. Rak shehiyeh tov tov kavanato, the goodness of his intentions. V'yidbayesh minasho, inside he's embarrassed from himself. Umi bodo, he's embarrassed from his creator. Ba'asiyat ha'vedot ha'hen, comes from the depth of the neshama. You know what he's describing? Certainly not somebody who's doing tshuva because there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. There's no mitzvah. It's me, all me. Nothing whatsoever coerces me to do it. And here it is. He has taken a look at what the end of man will be. Libo, and you know what he does? He goes ahead and he on his own humbles himself before the Levitical. You know what you got over here from the beginning? What you have over here is a powerful, dramatic portrayal of tshuva that comes from the human being, his neshama, the depths of the neshama. Nothing coerces him. There's not even a mitzvah to coerce him. That's what the Levi Hashem wants. I say he doesn't want somebody who does tshuva because there's a mitzvah. I say, you tell him, say, it's not about tshuva. You're crazy? You need a mitzvah? You don't realize what you've done? You don't see that there's been a break in your relationship between you and your Chavei Shalom? Don't you see what the Aveda has done to you? Man has to understand on his own. And that is what's supposed to bring him to tshuva. Not because there's a mitzvah, a command of tshuva. And over here, you can't tell God Muhammad, tshuva liyotzer, the one who's commanded is better. No, the one who's commanded is never better. This has to come from the depths of one's neshama. Number five. In this number five, I really only want four words. And four words say so much. This is from a sefer called Bet Elokim that was written by the Mabit. Yosef Mitrani, he was a member of the Bet Din of the Beis Yosef in 16th century Tzfat, one of the great Rishonim. And he, in his first chapter about tshuva, he says, Chakarnu al geder ha-tshuva. We have studied what tshuva is all about, umatzanu, and we have found
you get into the film that way.
He said we studied what tshuva is, and he wants to define tshuva. What's the definition? Four words. Kereva l'Hashem me'zichuk ha'chet. Kereva l'Hashem, drawing close to Hashem from the distance that was caused by sin. Can you imagine drawing close to Hashem from the distance of sin because I have to do it? Doesn't it mean drawing close because I feel the loss? I feel the emptiness. I had a friend, the best friend in the world, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and there it is. I caused a terrible break in that relationship. I have to correct it. I have to rebuild it. Kereva l'Hashem me'zichuk ka'chet. I'm going to skip for a moment to the next page. We're going to come right back to this. The next page, number 9. This one I like. Great stuff. Number 9 is from the first page of Pnimei Harav. The Hanhagos and the Halachas of Rav Soloveitchik that were written by Rav Heschel Schechter. He wrote the Nefesh Harav, and then he wrote Pnimei Harav. And on the very first page of the Pnimei Harav, he says something, and I've discussed it with him already, and I told him that I would have been happier if he would have taken one word out. And I'll tell you what it is. He says that the Rav held that there is no mitzvah chiyuvit obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It is only mitzvah kiyumit. Mitzvah kiyumit means if you live in Eretz Yisrael, hang in there, just wait for it. So don't get upset. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill a mitzvah. This is precisely the sheet of Rav Moshe Feinstein. That there's no obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if you live here, then you fulfill a mitzvah. Fulfill a mitzvah. So he writes over at the beginning of the Panini Arab that it was told this by Rabbi Avishai David, also a good friend of mine from Bet Shemesh, that that was the Shita of the Chof. So I said the following to Rav Heschel Shachar. I'm doing Shuvah also, but I've done Shuvah before on this. I was upset with Ramesha. Little me, I was upset with Ramesha when I saw that Ramesha's Shuvah. You know that there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. No mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if you live in Eretz Yisrael, okay, you'll fulfill the mitzvah. Until one day, Heir Hashem Einai, God opened up my eyes. And to explain best how he opened up my eyes, so I have to tell you the story I love about Rav Shlomo Zalman. There was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, some dude from Chutz Laretz, called Rav Shlomo Zalman from Chutz Laretz. He's coming in for a few days. He wants to meet with the Hashiva, the Rav, the Pesach Hador. Of course, he has something to discuss with him. Anyway, I imagine this. You know, I have a very fertile imagination. I imagine this fellow arriving in the airport, gets into a stretch limousine, comes driving into Shari Chesed. If I slip in the limousine, can't get into the little street that Rav Shlomo Zalman lived on. And then when he comes to Rav Shlomo Zalman's house, and he takes a look, all the stairs he had to walk up to get up there for Midyale Bahar Hashem anyway, he comes in to Shlomo Zalman and he tells him, listen, he's been studying the sugya of Eretz Yisrael. He has spent months with the Chavrusa going, is it a mitzvah, is it a Torah, is it midrabanan, is there an issue to live in Eretz Yisrael, is it mitzvah chiyuvis, is it mitzvah kiyumis? And he begins to pour out his all this Torah. He's been waiting for months. He's finally here in the presence of Shlomo Zalman. A few minutes into this tirade, Rav Shlomo Zalman in his able way says, "Sinish vichtig." It's not important. The fellow doesn't believe what he hears, so you know, he just makes believe. He didn't hear that, and he keeps telling him, this region, and that happened. You know, I imagine by Litvisha and Yerushalmi also, no story is a story until it happens three times. So Shlomo Zalman says again, he's getting a little unnerved. When Shlomo Zalman tells him for the third time, this is nishtichtik, it's not important, he says, what does the Rashida mean? What do you mean, Snipschnick? So he says, doesn't make any difference. The Reise, the Rabbanon, Chiyuvis, Chiyuvis, open up a Chumash and you'll see on every page that the Tzon Hashem is that his people should live in this land. That's the end. What's Rav Shlomo Zalman saying? There are certain things that don't have to be a mitzvah. There's a clear expression throughout all of Torah from beginning to end that this is the land that he wants his people to live in. You don't need any more than that. I don't need a mitzvah at all. There are certain things that are clearly God's wish and his will. That's it. So that I should want to do it because I want to do it. Then it hit me. That Moshe Psak, in the Psak of Rav Soloveitchik, that there is no mitzvah chiyuvit to live in Eretz Yisrael means that each and every one of us has the freedom out of the depths of our neshama to choose to do Ritzon Hashem, to do God's will. All of a sudden, going on the other came for me, wow, I embraced the Moshe's Shita. Absolutely right. I don't think most people understand it that way. Most people have used this psak halacha is, I'm going to go. No, I don't think that's what it means at all. The only thing I can say is that about 2 years ago, I was spent Shabbos at the King Solomon. I don't remember what I was doing here in town. Must have been some kind of an event. And Reb Reuven Feinstein was there for Shabbos. So I got a hold of him by coffee in the morning, and I say, I want to tell you how I learned pshat in the Shiva's psak halacha. He listened to me, and he said, most probably that's the hashkafa behind Reb Moshe's psak. So what have we accomplished? There are certain mitzvahs that by their very nature should not be commanded. By their very nature, they should be left up to the free will of the individual. Only then does the mitzvah have real meaning. That's Mishloach Manos, that's giving to the Mishkan, that's coming on Aliyah. And there are others. The mitzvah of tshuva, what are you talking about? The Gavashim has to tell you to do tshuva? You were born yesterday, what's your problem? You don't understand? You don't understand that you have your neshama should want kreifol Hashem, coming close to Hashem, may lichu kachay, from the distance that you caused by sin. I'll give you a few proofs, real proofs. You may never have noticed it, but you're, after tonight, you're always going to notice it. Shmona Esrei, three times a day, day after day. And Baruch Hashem, the longer we live, we should keep living on Ne'eh Ves from Shmona. God, how many Shmona Esreis we say? What's the text of the brachos in Shmona Esrei? Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonin Adat, you give wisdom. Shover Oyevimu Machnei Hazedim, God destroys the enemy of Israel. Bone Yerushalayim, he builds Yerushalayim. Shomei Atfil, he listens to prayer. There's one bracha in Shmona Esrei that is radically different than all the brachas in Shmona Esrei. Horotzeh b'tshuva. His ratzon is we should do tshuva. It doesn't say the one who commands tshuva, the one who demands tshuva, the one who expects tshuva. Horotzeh b'tshuva. You know what it means? That bracha is saying that in a certain sense, the Rebbeinu Shlom, dependent on us, hoping and praying that they will choose to do tshuva, because there's no mitzvah of tshuva, or don't say the tshuva. The best that he can say is that Rebbeinu Shlom wants Jews to do tshuva. That's what he wants. I'm going to give you even a better proof. Back to number 6, famous medrash. Famous medrash. Ah, this medrash appears out of a number of places. Hanefesh akotati tamud, the sinner dies. Shalom achokma, wisdom was asked. Chote mahu omcha, what is the punishment for a sinner? Amaris of wisdom said, Pasuk in Mishlei, that's wisdom. Chatoyim terade draw the sinners, let evil pursue them. Their own evil will destroy them. Shalom and Nevuah, they ask prophecy. Chote mahu onsho, what is the onus for a sinner? Yecheskel says in Nevuah, Hanefesh achotat, the sinning soul dies. He tamut. Shalom, Torah, they listen carefully. Shalom the Torah, they ask Torah, Koto Mahu Onsho, what is the punishment for a sinner? What does Torah say? Yomi Osho, be it capital, let him bring the carbon, and he'll be forgiven. Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they ask the Rebbeinu Shlom, Koto Mahu Onsho, what is the punishment for a sinner? God says, let him do tshuva, and he will be forgiven. Torah didn't say it. If there's a mitzvah of tshuva, why doesn't Torah say, Yasa tshuva miyit kapela? Because tshuva is beyond Torah. More than that, according to the Gemara Pesachim, true laws created before the world came into being. There is no mitzvah tshuva. Tshuva has to come from the individual himself. And the Rebbeinu is the only one who can accept it. And therefore, it doesn't say, Torah does not respond by saying, let him do tshuva and he will be forgiven. I think I'm gonna start winding down over here. Because I can keep going on this. I can keep going. And I'm gonna wind down. In number 8. I love this one. I really, really love this one. I mentioned earlier in the shiur the Balei Kabbalah saying that what's Yom HaKippurim, a day like Purim? You know, if you want to know the essence of Yom Kippur, the holiest, most terrifying day of the year, you want to understand Yom HaKippurim? It's a day like Purim, the most frivolous day of the year. What kind of statement is this? I'll tell you what the Jacobus statement is. Why I love this. My mom's love it. We don't have to look at it inside, but I'll tell you, the one who Shabbat says the following, that when God gave Torah to Sinai, Kofaleim Har Kigigas, he held the mountain over them, and he told them, if you accept Torah, good, if not, here shall you be buried. So Jews have a right to say that we were coerced. We were coerced into accepting Torah. But the Gemara ends by saying, Amar Rava, the Gemara concludes, Amar Rava, Afolpi Kain, despite the fact that Torah at Sinai was under compulsion, Hodor Kibluhu, Bimea Hashverosh, in the days of Achashverosh, Klan Yisrael accepted Torah upon themselves from their own will. As it says, Kinu, the Kibru, HaYehudim, Aleyam, Ba'alzarum, Jews accepted on their own, from their own will, without coercion. They accepted Torah upon themselves. So you know what the essence of Purim is? The essence of Purim is accepting Torah without any kind of coercion. That's what Yom Kippur is supposed to be. Nobody coerces you to do tshuva. There's nothing that compels you to do tshuva. The essence of real tshuva on Yom Kippur is a tshuva that comes from the neshama, from the Jewish heart, an understanding that I did something wrong. And I have to correct it. Nobody has to tell me that I have to correct it. I don't know myself. I think we've built up a pretty, pretty solid case that the way to read that first Tamran that we began with is precisely as he says it. Tshuva is not a mitzvah. Tshuva is not a mitzvah, the mitzvah is vidui. After you've gone through the personally agonizing process, the suffering that comes with the decision to do tshuva, after that, now what you have to do is express it verbally. And I want to read the kotelet, the Rambam's introduction, that one sentence. And the Rav here says that this one sentence is proof for him that tshuva is a mitzvah. I don't know, I read it a little different than the Pilot Kvodo and all humility. Mitzvah saseh achas, there's one mitzvah. V'hu sheyoshu hachote mecheto, listen to the way I read it. Sheyoshu hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yitvadeh. You know how I read it? There are two steps to tshuva. The first step is the inner turmoil, the struggle, the agony, the grappling with my past, the ability to get ready to say I'm not going to do it again. That can be a long, long, difficult, painful process. There are yechidim who are zeicher to do tshuva as a result of one single moment in time. Yes, there are those who come to it once in a long time. But most of us have to go through a process. More agonizing, less agonizing. More introspection, less introspection. But there is a process. The first step in the process of tshuva is between me and me. It's when I have resolved all the issues inside me. I have already reached the point where I regret and I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed of myself. I crave what the Mabit says. Kreivol Hashem, drawing close to Hashem, meirichu kachei from the distance of faith. Once I've gone through that whole inner struggle and turmoil, I'm back. Now I'm ready to do tshuva l'fnei Hashem. L'fnei Hashem, the tshuva is v'yisvada that he has to say. The process of tshuva is in me that precedes anything. And then finally, l'fnei Hashem v'yisvada. I think I made my case. You know, so l'fnei Aviv Shabbat Shemaim. Number one, that we should all be zeichah to do tshuva shleima. We want to be around here because great things are going to happen. Great things are going to happen. We never ever forget for a moment that we are the only people on the face of this earth that are threatened with total destruction by somebody who is working day and night in order to achieve that goal. But we believe that Munishtan, the Elohim, is not going to let us down. Let us be worthy of it's not letting us down. By the way, I think that everybody, every day, when you're talking, you should have in mind that the Elohim should save us from this grave threat. Klal Yisrael in all its history never faced a threat like that. Except maybe once. By the Yam Suf, with the Egyptians on one side, the sea on the other side, all of Israel caught in the river. We're standing, we are before a great crisis. And we have to be sure that we are going to storm the gates of heaven. The Chol HaRisha, Mehele Nikarezu, destroy all evil from the face of the world. And we should consider with all the plans, so we should have a Ksin of Sina Tehle, a goodness and joy. We should have the Arifas Yaman, the Shonen, and all of these great things, and to be zeicher to see the great, great things that God is going to do for us.